I've been very forthcoming about this idea that I have for a TV show that CNN has some interest in. It had not been my intention to fully discuss it, and then Michael Klein wrote about it in the Sunday Inquirer, and then I said to myself, you know, in the past, when there's been the prospect, and it's only the prospect, less probably than 50% shot, of having a TV gig, I've always said, oh, I'm not going to talk about it on my radio show, because I don't want to jinx it. Well, apparently not talking about it jinxed it. So my whole new attitude this time around is I got something going on. It probably won't pan out, but I just feel like, you know, we're compatriots here and I'd love to tell you about it because it's interesting. I'm into my book club, meaning right here at the Big Talker 1210, book club will continue, and CNN has an interest in my book club for television purposes. So I'm spending time in New York this week to shoot a pilot. And a pilot means it's a prospective TV show that they're going to vote yay or nay on, and it probably never sees the light of day. But to that end, because Michael Klein wrote about it in The Inquirer, he has awakened the interest of a website that tracks pundits. It's called Media Matters. You can go there. You can look at what Greg mentioned before the break that, yeah, I'm totally willing to discuss. So this outfit, I don't know how they do it. I guess they assign a person or people to me, but they've been tracking over a period of years statements that I make on the Big Talker 1210, statements that I've made guest hosting on MSNBC, statements that I've made guest hosting for Bill O'Reilly, and they think they've got me dead to rights, you know, that hate speech has come out of my mouth. And my attitude is, I'm responsible for 17 and a half hours of content a week. Holy smokes, there are plenty of days where I walk out of here and I say, I wish I'd said that differently. But I am not embarrassed or regretful because of something that I've said that was hateful about anything I've ever said. There is not a single statement that I've made. Oh, I say stupid things. I've been wrong about plenty of subjects, but I've never crossed that line. And you know why? It's not the FCC and it's not the Big Talker. It's because it's my personal barometer. I've never violated it. So do you want to know what they think they've got on me? I don't have it in front of me, but TC does. You have that list, TC?
I do have the list.
All right. So run down the items of, you know, where they got me.
Here
and let me, and you're catching me cold, but I'm sure I remember, because I've read the file before, and I'll know what they are, and I'll explain.
Great. Here we go. On the first one, on June 20th, 2006, the edition of Scarborough Country, Smirconish trivialized reports of detainee abuse at Abu Ghraib prison in Iraq as, quote, naked pyramid pictures.
Okay. Can I stop you there?
Absolutely. There's just one more little bit. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Say it.
And at the Pentagon detention facility at Guantanamo Bay as, quote, playing Christina Aguilera music a bit too loud.
So, okay, so this is an example of what, me saying something inflammatory?
Yes, inflammatory comments, Michael. Your response, please.
Okay, my response is that I equated the behavior at Abu Ghraib, the naked pyramid pictures,
right,
of something that I remember seeing in my fraternity at Zeta Psi.
I remember you saying that.
Yeah. And I think I also said that I find it remarkable that there's this outrage about torture at Guantanamo. And when you read the actual interrogation log, as I have done, you find out that one of the elements of quote unquote torture is playing Christina Aguilera music at full decibel range. I mean, we're talking about Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. We're talking about Muhammad al-Qahtani, who wanted to be hijacker number 20 and cut throats on flight 93. And what? I'm supposed to get worked up into a lather because as an interrogation method, we're playing Christina Aguilera music loud. By the way, people are probably driving to work right now thinking I'm joking. I'm not joking. That's one of the elements of quote unquote torture. So guilty as charged. What's the next item that they've assembled about me?
On April 10th, 2006.
It's unbelievable how they have like the date. They've got this.
Oh,
they saw
no,
me.
Michael, they have the video and audio clips posted on this website.
So I could actually listen to this?
Yes.
Oh, this is good because I've been looking to boost my archives.
Good.
So Go ahead. What did I do on that day?
On that day, you suggested that maybe, maybe law enforcement ought to step in, end quote, at pro-immigration demonstrations and consider, quote, gathering up illegal immigrants. Smirkanish wondered why there was zero discussion of, quote, gathering them up at demonstrations, and when, quote, all I keep hearing is how we would ever find them, he then suggested that law enforcement officials are being hypocritical by refusing to gather up illegal immigrants because they would step in and do something about a rally of pot smokers who wanted to decriminalization of marijuana or scoff laws with unpaid parking tickets.
Is that the end of the charge?
That is the end of the charge, sir. What do you
say? I did say all that.
And
I think what I said was, can you imagine if you had offenders of the law, say pot smokers, who get together for a rally to decriminalize marijuana, and they're all smoking bones out in the open. The police would round them up and put them in prison because they would be involved in illegal conduct. Here you have illegal immigrants brazenly marching in cities across the country with their Mexican flags. And, you know, there's a presumption that they are here illegally, but law enforcement, because of political correctness, would never step in and say, hey, you know, you're here illegally. Time to send you home. So, guilty as charged. What's next?
So far, I think they've put together a really good show for you.
Yeah.
Okay. On the April 4th, 2006 broadcast of The Factor, Smirkanish claimed that political correctness, here we go, has made the United States, quote, a nation of sissies, and that sissification and limp-wristedness are, quote, compromising our ability to win the war on terror. He later blamed the sissification of America for the sentencing of Al-Qaeda conspirator Zacharias Moussaoui to life in prison instead of death for his role in the September 11th, 2001 terrorist attacks.
Is that the extent of the charge?
That would be number three, sir.
I am guilty
charges.
Of that as well.
And proud.
yeah, I often use the word sissification or sissies. What I'd really like to use is the P word, but I'm not permitted to.
Right.
And I think that what this website is probably thinking is that somehow there's a homophobic element to this. I mean, what's the problem with using the word sissy? They can only be surmising that when I say sissy, I'm referring to homosexuality. I don't know. I'm wondering aloud. I mean, the word sissy to me is a word that we used growing up. Hey, don't be a sissy. Come on, play with us.
Right.
And I love that word, and I'd like to lead its resurgence into vocabularies all across the United States. and I don't think that every sissy is a homosexual, and I don't think any of you homosexuals is a sissy. There are plenty of homosexuals out there who could kick your ass.
Okay.
So, I mean, TC, give me something, anything. Come on, I say stupid things every day. What's the best they got?
This is it.
All right.
On November 23rd, 2005.
You must be joking. November 23rd, 2005.
Yes, this is what they're pulling out. On the broadcast of The Factor, Smirkanish called public prayer by Muslim men at a sporting event, quote, wrong, adding that they were playing a game to remind the audience of terrorist attacks. He also asserted that educating women means, quote, love this, they're not going to be around to instill these lessons in their kids.
Oh, my God. Well, guilty and guilty. And that's actually two separate charges.
It is. But they put them together.
All right. Now, I remember them both. Let me. Number one, the Muslim men at a sporting event.
Yes.
Doing this strictly from memory, folks. So if I'm off a hair in the facts, cut me some slack. There was a New York Giants game. Bush 41 was going to be in the house. A group of Muslim men in close proximity to an air vent start holding a prayer session with the president in the house and with 80,000 people in the house. And if memory serves correct, it was also a Hurricane Katrina fundraiser. And my words on this radio station, and I guess on The Factor as well, I said, at a minimum, they were involved in a game of mind blank. Because for Muslim guys to get together in front of 80,000 people at an event of that magnitude and hold their daily prayer, they were screwing with the emotions of the American football fans. That's what I said, and I continue to believe it. In similar fashion to the imams who recently got on an airplane and started to behave in a very unusual manner and, you know, shouting out Allah Akbar, at a minimum, they're screwing around with the minds of people who are fearful of terrorism and fearful for all the right reasons. So guilty on that charge. And the final issue, say it again. What about women?
To me, this one is most outrageous, maybe.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Quote, if you educate women, it means they're not going to be around to instill these lessons in their kids.
This is unbelievable. For a book club event,
yes,
we had Sue Kim Abood and her sister,
Jane Kim.
Jane Kim, right. So here are these two very bright, very attractive, just stellar people, these two Asian sisters who write a book about Asian parenting. And, you know, they give up all the secrets of the household and they say, you know, here's the way our parents raised us. And we think that it was very valuable. And this is what perhaps other people should do in parenting their kids. If you want to turn out some real successful young folks. And in questioning them, I said, it occurs to me that if everyone follows your prescription, then we will have successful young girls growing up, getting good educations, and therefore entering the workforce. And consequently, they might not be at home like your parents were at home to raise you. More specifically, like your mother was to raise you.
Exactly. And that was the whole point. Is that
Which I think is a heck of a point. And when I said it, I remember the sister saying, yeah, you're right. You know, if you're going to turn out a type A personality from an Ivy League school, they're probably going to get a great job offer and not be at home to give all the hands-on attention that our parents gave to us, our mothers gave to us. So guilty as charged. Yeah. I am guilty across the board. And my comment, to the extent that these folks are still monitoring me today, is, can't you come up with something better than that? Because holy smokes, I sure could.